This is Ozarks at Large. Last week, Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville was the site of the Distance Learning Summit. The three-day event featured not only local professional educators, but also representatives from places like the Metropolitan Museum of Art and the Smithsonian American Art Museum, discussing successes and failures in creating and implementing distance learning programs. The summit was sponsored by the Wingate Charitable Foundation. Arkansas native Robin Horn is the foundation's board president as well as a sculptor. One of the artist's wooden pieces, titled Already Set in Motion, is part of Crystal Bridges' permanent collection and is located on a small lawn behind the gift shop. Robin says having her work being a part of the collection is probably the best thing that's ever happened in her career. The artist was in town last week for the summit, and she gave a lecture on her piece yesterday afternoon at the museum. While she was in town, I stopped by the museum to chat with her about her artwork. The Fort Smith native, who currently lives in Little Rock, was not always a sculptor. She trained as a painter at Hendricks College in Conway and even spent some time as chief photographer for the Arkansas Department of Parks and Tourism. During our conversation, I asked Robin how she transitioned from a painter and photographer to a sculptor.
The painting that I had done was kind of minimal. My mother is a painter, and so she was always painting, and it was interesting to see her working, and so it felt kind of normal to me to do that. So that's why I got an art degree at Hendricks. And later on, when I was doing photography for Parks and Tourism, that was nice too, but it wasn't really the thing that I was meant to be doing, evidently. So my brother-in-law, Sam, went to Aramont School in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and he took a class in wood turning from David Ellsworth, who is a vase guru. He makes wood vases on a lathe, which is kind of a tricky technique, and he developed a lot of tools and things. So Sam came back from the week that he spent there and showed me what he had learned. So he said, "You want to try it?" And I did. And so I made things on the lathe for a while, which is, if you're not familiar with it, it's a mechanical apparatus that spins a piece of wood. You hold a cutting tool against a real solid bar and remove wood. So it's how you make a bowl, how you make a spindle. So it's a really effective tool in making things round. So I made round things for a while. Then I got tired of round things, so I started doing more carving and got away from the lathe a little bit. That was when I started the Standing Stone series, which were influenced by Barbara Hepworth's work. She's an English sculptor who was around in the mid-20th century and was overshadowed a bit by Henry Moore, who got a lot more publicity than she did. But her work is more interesting to me than his is. And she has a large sculpture in front of the United Nations building, which is quite stupendous to me. She's just really was a influential sculptor in my career. So I started doing the Standing Stone series, and then the Slipping Stone series came after that, which is what this piece is all about.
Somewhere along the way, I think in 97, you started an organization for wood art. Was there not one before that, and why did you do that?
I was talking to my friend Stoney Lamar, who's in North Carolina. He's a wood artist. And there were a lot of us who were getting into exhibitions and showing our work here and there in museums or in galleries. And he said, maybe we need a support group to try to cultivate collectors, basically is what it was for. So we called it the Collectors of Wood Art, and artists were members too. And so we had gatherings and we put together trips so that people could go see artist studios, that type of thing. And it was pretty effective all along throughout our careers. There's a group of us who have been working in wood that have gotten to be really tight, really close friends over the last 20 years, and they become family, and it's really great to see the artist's growth. I look at my work too and see how it's changed over the years and how important that is to your career. You can't just keep doing the same thing over and over again and feel successful, you know, feel like you're doing what you need to do. I would get real bored with it. So changing series is what really helps me to investigate a particular form and determine whether it's something you want to continue for a while or if you need to move on to the next one. And it's fun to try different things with the different ones. You know, it's an exploration. Your career just becomes an exploration. And I didn't start out thinking I'm going to be an artist. I'm going to be a famous artist or something. You know, you start out just making things. And you make them because you love to make them. And you get into a show or two and you get excited about that. And it kind of spurs you on to do more things. And, you know, before you know it, that's what you are. You're an artist. And it's kind of hard to admit it to yourself at first. It, you know, you're kind of thinking, you know, how did this happen? But it's kind of a good feeling to be able to say, I'm an artist.
Well, you are an artist and you are a sculptor of wood. What is it about the medium of wood that you seem to enjoy?
The wood seems to work for me best because it's so direct. When you cut the wood, it's cut. And you make these decisions and you do the cuts, make the cuts with whatever tool you're making or carving with. And it just seems to be, because it's a subtractive process, something that appeals to me rather than additive, like even furniture. You know, making furniture with wood is an additive process. You make the pieces and then you hook them together somehow, assemble them somehow. So removing the material, which would be similar to stone carving or something like that, is just what appeals to me. And I guess it's because those are processes that I've been able to get enough of a feel for that I can get it to respond to me in the way I want it to. I can make the cuts where I want to make the cuts, and I can make the surface look like the surface that I want it to. So. That's, I guess, the reason that wood works so well for me. Plus, wood's beautiful, and there's a lot of it around. You can use wood easily, find plenty of material to use, so it's a good material for me.
In working with that material, you tend to work with a chainsaw. That seems very unwieldy compared to, say, a pencil or a paintbrush, and also heavy.
It's not really all that heavy. To use one, it's a little bit physical to cut with one, but it's also, I guess maybe it's aggressive, and once I decide where I want a cut to be, I want to make the cut aggressively. I don't want to ease into it, or, you know, I want it to be definitive. I want it to be very decisive. So the chainsaw is the best tool to use for something that's very large to cut it. There's really no other good way to make those cuts. And if you're careful with a chainsaw, it's not a scary tool to use. Once you get proficient with it, you feel like you have control over it. And I don't use huge chainsaws most of the time unless I'm cutting a really large piece that has to, you know, just have a straight cut or something. Most of the time you're using a smaller carving chainsaw. They have made chainsaws now that have a real small tip on the end, and they made them for ice carving, for carving sculptures when they're carving ice. And they work really well on wood too. So they don't have the kickback that a normal chainsaw has. So it's a very safe way to do it. And I'm very careful. I don't let my attention stray when I'm using it. I'm very focused on what I'm doing. So those are important aspects of, you know, you don't want to get hurt because then you couldn't work. So you don't want that to happen.
During our visit at the museum, Robin and I walked outside to view her piece. Already set in motion is a tall, dark gray wooden structure situated in the middle of bright green grass, trees, and a couple of silver metal benches. Stationed in between the trees, the artwork seems like it belongs there, perhaps because it too is made from wood and appears to be stretching skyward. Part of the piece mimics falling stones that seem to be impossibly suspended in the air. The artwork was installed on the grounds about a month before the museum opened in November of 2011.
This is a piece from my Slipping Stone series, and it's carved from a single piece of redwood with a chainsaw, and it's made to look as though it's assembled. That's the main idea of this series, is to make something look like it's cascading down, out of balance, about to fall, when in fact it's a good solid piece of wood. It just has negative spaces in it to make it look a little bit lighter. It has components on it that I refer to as stones. Most of my work has a reference to stones. Have made geodes and millstones and standing stones, and so this is my latest series. And I've done a lot of smaller ones. This is one of the first 10 feet tall ones that I've made.
So how long did it take you to work on this piece, and how do you even begin to approach something that's 10 feet tall?
This is a half of a piece of redwood that was 5 feet in diameter. So I split it lengthwise down the middle, so it's then 2.5 feet by 10 feet. So it's a half of a log. And at that point, I draw on it with chalk. I knew what I wanted to make. I had made a smaller one that was what I would use as a maquette to make this piece. So I knew the design that I wanted to make. So I started drawing on the wood with chalk and markers to get the arrangement just right within the limits of the material that I had. So it's not pieced together, it's all solid, and it's just carved to look like it's pieced together.
Is that more difficult than piecing it together?
Not for me. For me, piecing it together would be very difficult, and making it stay together. This way I feel like it's sturdier, it has the solidity of the wood in between the pieces, so it's not nearly as precarious as it looks like it is.
Is there any kind of weather considerations you need to take into account when making this piece? Do you need to weatherize it or put some sort of coating on it to protect it from the elements?
The finish on it is a black aniline dye. If I had just left it with the plain wood finish, it would just look gray. It would eventually go gray. Just wood just weathers to be gray. My concern, as much as anything, was because of the orientation of the piece, it's oriented the way the tree grew. So on top you have the fibers of the wood, the grain, going upward, and so water could get down into it and just kind of permeate it, basically. So I put a sealer on top of it that's a really good sealer that keeps that from happening, so it keeps the deterioration down. Redwood is a little more impervious to bugs than a lot of wood, so it's a good wood to use outside. And then the aniline dye that I used has an oil base to it, so that's another protection on top of that. It will need to be refinished eventually. It'll start looking faded a little bit and start looking gray, so there is maintenance involved, but it's pretty durable, more so than you would think.
Can you tell me a little bit about the title for the piece, Already Set in Motion?
I have done a lot of slipping stones, and most of the titles are suggesting movement. The whole series is about movement and balance and geometry and negative spaces, and I just thought that sounded like it was getting ready to fall, getting ready to move, and that would be a good name for it.
What do you hope that people take away from coming and looking at this piece of art?
As an artist, what you hope is that it will grab someone's attention for a short period of time, that they will consider it. I also like the fact that it looks like it's assembled when it's not. So maybe they'll go over and check it out to see how it's made, to determine whether it's been bolted together or something, you know, when it hasn't. So messing with people's heads is really kind of fun too. And that, you know, you get more attention when somebody's looking at it if they can't quite figure it out. If they get it figured out immediately upon looking at it, then they move on. So maybe there's just some confusion about it. That's all I'm going for.
Robin Horn is the Wingate Charitable Foundation's board president, as well as the creator of the wooden sculpture titled Already Set in Motion. The piece is installed on the grounds of Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art and is part of the museum's permanent collection. More information about the artist is available at Robin Horn, that's robynhorn.com. This is Ozarks at Large.